Wow.
I'm so glad we did that.
Hello. Welcome to the Bush League Gaming Podcast, your source for ordinary opinions from ordinary gamers. Today is our Best of Bush League Gaming episode. I'm your host, Jacob Bush, and with me today, it's just me. It's just me today. No other guys. It's a busy time for the Bush League family right now, and I say extended family even too. We've got a lot going on. New jobs. Big shout out to Adam and Bree and all the Mossbrookers. New baby into the world. Beautiful baby girl. We're so happy that she's here now. But yeah, Nick and Ryan are also very busy right now. Lots going on. So I kind of wanted to give the guys a break, and I thought we could look back to the past and the last 4 years of Bush League Gaming. I reached out to some friends of the show. I found out some clips that they love. I found a lot of clips that I love. And we're just going to have like a fun little best of thing. And I'm going to throw some commentary over each segment. I'll introduce it. I'll close it out. And maybe I'll explain some backstories to it too. Maybe some behind the scenes that I've never really shared with the audience. But yeah, this is going to be a fun, different episode today. Apologies for the change in quality over the years. As you can imagine, 4 years, we've gone through many different mics and mixers, no video at some points. So it's going to sound different. Just bear with it. None of these clips are that long. So if you hear the popping and the crackling of yesteryear, it's temporary. But just enjoy the content. And yeah, we're going to hop right into our first clip here, which is one of my favorite rants that Ryan has ever gone on. He goes on for like way longer than I ever expected. I basically asked him like, what's his experience so far with Hogwarts Legacy? And I did not expect what I would get out of him. So this is that clip.
They should call this Hogwarts School of Murder, because I have killed so many people. I'm like 16 and I'm launching someone off a cliff, and I stand over the cliff and I'm looking down. They're on fire. They're frozen. They smack the ground and you hear a thud as flesh like collides with rock. And I stand over them and my character goes, Rookwood deceived you and it was your fall. And I'm like, you're way too good at this, man. You're 16 years old. And then he's like, I better get to astronomy. And then I go to class and act as if I didn't just murder someone outside of the school. I would like at least maybe like you get to class and you're like pale white, your first murder, right?
Your first murder.
Yeah, and the teacher asks you something and you run out of class and you vomit in the trash can. Wow. It's like the weight of murder is like weighing heavy on you. But your character is like, could care less. There's nothing, bothering you. And by the way, where are the adults? Because like Professor Fig's like, it's for the greater good. And it's like, how many people have you killed? Ask any of those professors. They'll probably spin you a story of like, oh, when I was younger, they cast the killing curse on me and I turned them to stone, but it was completely painless. And it's like, and then they say, what's your body count? And I'm like, literally hundreds. Like, I have killed hundreds of people, literally hundreds. But you save animals, right? I sell them. I sell them all. To who? Some lady, man. She loves these things. She can't get enough. I just catch these things. I sell them. Well, I do keep some in this leather bag. It's like, that's a psychopath, dude. Oh my God.
It's got
everyone
really dark.
Ignores it. Like, every adult is ignoring the fact that there's a student murdering hundreds of people, stealing animals, keeping them in a bag.
So there are missions where you can throw people off cliffs?
Dude, I am killing left and right, bro.
Yeah, but you're a fifth year.
I'm 16.
It's not asking you to do it, but it's a product of your mission.
You have to.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice.
Huh. I mean,
okay, here's another facet. Think about from the perspective, like, these guys, they're like 35. The career's not panning out the way they thought. Boss has been promising the promotion. It's not coming, but they're like, oh, all right, it'll come. They're writing letters to home. Like, it's almost here. I'll get that raise, baby. This will be worth it. Like, tell the kids I love them. And then the 16-year-old walks up, lights you on fire, and pushes you off the castle. Like, what? Dude? It's absurd. Like, nothing in this game makes sense. There's so much murder. It's crazy. Which, listen, I'm not complaining because the game has been a blast. And I love it. Like, there's nothing about this game I don't love. Oh my God. But we have to be realistic with, like, this is not the Hogwarts from the movies. You know what I mean? Like, they were so afraid of, like, the Crucio and the Killing Curse. It's like, dude, I am literally launching that with, like, no regard for who's around. Mm. I could hit so many people with collateral. Just, like, walking in villages, killing people with the Killing Curse. Like, what are you going to do?
Wow.
One of the most unhinged Ryan rants, and I love it. There's storytelling. There's an accent in there, multiple accents. If Bush League had, like, a crazy budget, this is one of those things where I would ask someone to animate what the story that Ryan's telling, because I can picture it, and it's so funny, and he tells it so well with his VO on it. I'd love to do that someday. But anyways, that is the Hogwarts Legacy clip. Moving into the next clip, I'll just set it up. This is back to our 1 year anniversary of Bush League. So you can definitely hear some audio differences. But yeah, I wanted to look back from our perspective then of what we had accomplished, what our goals and motives were. And then, you know, kind of reframing that now and today. So I'll play this clip now, and then I'll talk about it a little bit after.
On that topic of kind of creativity and thinking about things through a business lens and all those things, like, I've never dabbled in, like, Photoshop, and we use Affinity Designer, but it's the equivalent.
Yeah.
Like, it's been an outlet that I've never knew I needed. So, like, I'm sitting here making YouTube thumbnails now, and I'm loving every second of it. Yeah. And, like, I'm putting time into these thumbnails, way more time than I need to. I just love it. Yeah. Like, it's, and that's Bush League in general. It's like, oh yeah, if you told me a year ago I'd be into audio engineering, no, I wouldn't. But, like, here I am spending 4 hours to cut an hour podcast in GarageBand. Like, it's just these weird skills that have, like, what's the quote from Iwata that we just read about constraint births creativity?
Yeah.
And I like, that has been resonating with me since reading that in that book. It resonates so much through Bush League. Like, some of the, like, the most fun things we've done, it's a constraint, it's weird, our resources are limited, but then, like, we just have to get creative with it.
Yeah, I also like, and this kind of puts us in a unique position, because the decisions we make are not to make money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Our Bush League to us, like, we're not making money with Bush League. We're actually losing quite a bit of money.
We're deep in the hole.
Yeah, but it's like, this is truly the purest form of, like, a passion project, I guess, because we don't have to make these decisions that are, like, about the bottom dollar at all, because that's not our intent. We're not trying to grow to make a lot of money. We're just enjoying what we're doing, and we have our own jobs that we care about
that fund this. Yeah. And, like, that's, you know, I wanted to bring this up at one point. The concept of having a studio, it, like, says something, but at the same time, I want to clarify that it doesn't say that. Like, someone brought up, oh man, Bush League must be doing really well if you guys have a studio now. And I would say the answer is yes, it's doing well, but not in the sense that you think. It's not financially doing well.
No, it didn't pay for the studio.
It didn't pay for the studio. No. But, like, again, my metric of success, and, like, our metric, I believe, is just, like, having fun. And at the end of the day, this is the most fun. Like, building a studio, recording in a studio has been so much fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, there's just so many things that I wanted to kind of look back and clarify with this episode, because we haven't really, you know, we've been recording for a year now, and we haven't really talked about our mission and our goal and whatnot.
No.
And again, it sounds cheesy and simplify it, it's just to have fun with some buds.
Fun is the key. Fun's the KPI here, our key performance indicator, and we're nailing it.
Yeah. Really, I mean, genuinely, and, like, I'm okay saying that. Like, if it was, like, financial, I'd be like, oh, that's really weird to say, but, like,
let's talk about that later.
Yeah. So the last two things I wanted to bring up that were highlights to me this year, and this is a weird one, you guys might have forgot about it, but it resonated huge with me. And it was when Anchor promoted our radio show episode. Oh, yeah. Like, it wasn't just a retweet. Yeah. It was, they drafted their own tweet. They tagged, like, actual bands in the episode and then linked our episode. And I can assure you it had nothing to do with it. Didn't drive any traffic towards that episode
at all.
But like it was so cool just to see that like we just got promoted.
They liked
one of the biggest podcast, sources, like one of the biggest podcast platforms. So I loved that. Last thing too, with big highlights for me was having Jeff Grubb on. I thought that was really cool.
Oh,
I
mean, that was amazing.
It's Jeff Grubb. He's awesome. And
great guest.
Super gracious to come and be on the show.
Okay, so that was the clip from the 1 year anniversary. A few things to point out there. The concept of getting new skills from Bush League is still resonating true 3 years later from that point. I have an absolute love for editing now, like video editing, which we weren't even doing back then. I was just doing audio editing. But I love making shorts. I love getting creative with what I pull out of these podcast episodes and what goes into short form. And then I like the feedback that comes with that. We've all had different interests in like designing. The guys even found an interest in making a video game, like an actual video game between that point and now. They haven't worked on it lately, but I think Bush League has sparked a lot of creativity within all three of us. And then going into like the KPI that Nick brought up, the key performance indicator of fun. That is still the only way that Bush League can continue. And I say that because, you know, metrics aren't fun. That's not something to get caught up in. We're not pursuing this as our job. So like even success is a hard thing to, like getting a big audience isn't really sustainable even. So like the fun aspect is the only thing that really keeps us going. So as long as we're having fun, we keep going. That ebbs and flows though, right? Just like right now, this is a seasonal life for the guys that's hard. So, you know, we have to get creative with our episodes, things like this. We have to do different, we change things up. I think that video game show that we did was a real shot in the arm for fun. The video game radio show is always fun. So I think you're going to see us do a bit more of fun and whatever that looks like. We might be experimenting with things. But that is the driving force for Bush League, and it has to be. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. We have to keep that the driving force. And then kind of closing out with what I was saying there at the end of the cool milestones for our first year, you know, Anchor promoting us, I still think that was really cool. It was cool to be cool to be recognized by a large organization at the time. They're now part of Spotify. But that was really cool. And then, again, interviewing Jeff Grubb, such a great time, very gracious. And he's like a rock star now too. Like he's big, he's big time. He's all over the place. There's not a chance in the world that we could get him to come back because he's just so busy. But I did actually want to cut to a clip with Jeff Grubb talking about pro-consumerism. This is in the context of, you know, Nintendo and Microsoft and how we perceive them as being pro-consumer or not. So I'm going to cut it to that clip now.
Like pro-consumers, like a term I will very rarely ever use or write or say, because it is it comes from the consumer side, right? We're the ones that manifest like what is pro-consumer and what's not. And if it's something we don't like, that's what's anti-consumer or whatever. But I always think it is, if you think something's pro-consumer, you're probably being manipulated. The example I use is JCPenney. When the guy that ran the Apple Store came up with the idea for the Apple Store, went to JCPenney, he was like, we are going to make this, we're going to simplify prices. Everyone's going to fully understand exactly what's going on. As soon as you walk in the store, if you see a certain color tag, you know that's just going to be $8. No $7.99, just $8. Come on in. And no coupons, no sales. We're just going to give you a fair price right out of the gate. And consumers hated it, because what consumers like is to feel like they are getting one over on the retailer. They think psychologically that they are getting one over on the retailer. And if the retailer can make a customer feel like they are getting one over on them without sort of like acknowledging that that's the thing that's really happening here, you can build this like really loyal following. That's like, man, I like shopping there because I usually come out on top. And it's like, oh no, you're being manipulated. And whatever, the human brain really likes this sort of thing. And that's absolutely at play with Game Pass. We feel like, oh my God, I got Game Pass for 3 years for $1. they just gave it to me for $1. No one ever says that they just went out and bought $180 worth of Xbox Live Gold right before that to right. get that through. They only say the $1 part because they think they're getting one over on Microsoft.
Yeah, that was me, man.
Yeah. No one ever says it. It's so wild. It's like we're absolutely being manipulated.
Yeah, babe, I spent $1. Then why is the account $181 negative? Yeah.
Hey, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if you've ever been to Kohl's, man. I compound those coupons, and I make a
Kohl's cash, man.
Kohl's cash. I own them.
Do they even know how much Kohl's cash they're sending me? There must be some mistake here.
They lose money on me for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Kohl's cash. Yeah. So that was that clip. A really great time. One thing to point out, if you are watching or if you're listening to this on a podcast, the video I actually have for this one, this is a video that was never released because we were just doing audio at the time, but Zoom recorded it. So if you ever want to see the old guest room studio, this was, you know, at the time, my guest room, we used to record all of our all audio podcasts out of there for the first year. All podcasts came out of there. So if you want to see a piece of Bush League history, go to YouTube or Spotify and watch the video version of this podcast. But the other thing I wanted to point out, and actually right now, I'm sick. So if I sound different, or I've been sick for the last like week and a half. So if I sound different tonight, it's because of sickness still. And it's still working through me. But anyways, that was our Jeff Grubb clip. Moving into our next clip, this is a clip from our Game of the Year 2020. And this is actually a request from Ethan Maestri, where he wanted the clip where we talk about golden ponies and basically killing each other's golden ponies, right? And I'll explain the context for what the golden pony was. The first year we did Game of the Year, I introduced a concept of the golden pony. And actually, I stole it from Jeff Grubb's Game of the Year show at the time. And I don't think he does this anymore. We don't do it anymore. But basically, if you loved a game that year, you could preserve it and no one could eliminate it from the conversation for that year. It just had to be your Game of the Year, right? So I explained at the beginning of the show, you know, you pick your Game of the Year at the beginning, it will end up on the list no matter what because it's your golden pony. Nobody can eliminate it. Okay. I'm just going to leave it there and I'll play the clip now.
Ryan, this is how the game goes. And Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 eliminated.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was going to be your golden pony. So I was a little nervous about that.
Are you going for the jugular? Are you trying to find my golden pony?
I will find both of your golden ponies and so I will strangle them.
What happens if you choose a game that is your golden pony?
He can't, that doesn't work. It's blocked immediately.
You just lose your crossing off of a game?
No, you go to a different game at that point. Okay. So Nick, it's your turn. What would you like to nominate for elimination?
Guys, this is really tough being in the middle spot. Yeah. So if...
Do it,
if,
Nick.
If
Do
Tony it. Hawk wasn't your golden pony, then I know what is.
All right. But so, we shouldn't be shooting to eliminate people's favorite
no,
game.
No. Don't listen to him, Nick. Shoot well, no, his pony.
Even if you're trying to shoot the pony or not, you have to take into
shoot his kage.
Context. Yuga.
Fall
guys.
Oh, wow. All right.
Nope. Save.
No, you are not.
Save. That's my golden
that's
pony,
That's your
brother.
Save?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Well, my next on the list is going to be Animal Crossing.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wait,
did
what do you
not see that coming?
Wait, hold on. So Fall Guys is Ryan's. Okay, let me clarify for the listener here because I got lost. Fall Guys is Ryan's golden pony. Nick tried to eliminate it. It cannot be eliminated. Animal Crossing is Nick's next elimination. That is my golden pony.
Oh, I knew it. Oh, two golden ponies down.
So we've revealed, Nick, Ryan and I both have revealed our cards. We are fighting for Animal Crossing and Fall Guys to be in the Game of the Year. And the number one slot.
Pony.
For the listener,
kill
right?
Nick's pony.
For the listener he right can't. Now, we have Hades, Ghost, Spiritfarer, Astro's Playroom, and Genshin Impact. So I'm going to look at that list and say... The weakest to me is
protected.
Is Genshin Impact
protected?
Oh, that's his golden pony! You got his golden pony! Yeah. Let's go, Nick! I'm so glad you protected that game. because I couldn't. You did what I couldn't do, Nick. Thank you.
I want to make sure that you guys understand Golden Pony, because this is your game of the year. You're saying that this is your game of the year.
No, it's just a game we wanted to protect.
Well, you're defeating the purpose of the game.
No, it's just a game.
I think the Golden Pony Protection Program turned us all into a very...
The GPP was more about me manipulating your list.
What's the board game where you play where you...
I literally said it at the top of the show when I explained...
No, I heard what you said. I just didn't want to play by those rules.
Wow.
So that is the most reoccurring theme throughout Bush League is... me thinking there's some semblance of control or a plan, and then Ryan and Nick seeing through it and just throwing it to the wind and sabotaging it. So that was the Golden Pony clip. A classic. I loved the switch up that happened there. And it still happens to this day. You know, anytime we're doing Game of the Year, anytime we're doing some sort of list or debate, they will see through it and immediately do something different. So I love them for that. It keeps the show exciting and it keeps me on my toes. So moving on from 2020 Game of the Year, and actually worth noting, the 2020 Game of the Year was Ghost of Tsushima, if you never caught that. We loved that game. I think it came second to Hades, which we also loved. And then Animal Crossing maybe was in there too. Maybe Animal Crossing was number two. But anyways, a great year for games. Looking forward, actually, I think this might be... No, this would have been looking forward. So we cover a lot of topics on Bush League. If you're a reoccurring listener, we cover news, we cover reviews, but we dabbled, you know, with one episode on a book review based on the video game industry. So this book was called Ask Iwata. It was following, you know, one of Nintendo's famous executives. And, you know, game designers too, right? He was a multifaceted, talented individual. He passed away and they released this book. And it was basically detailing wisdom and, you know, little secrets from Nintendo from his point of view and his writings. And it was a fantastic book. We learned a ton from it. So I really admired the clips that the guys chose. Nick chose one about kind of education and non-traditional education, which is a pursuit he, you know, goes down that path a lot, right? He's always reading. He's always, you know, reading a study. And he takes that knowledge to heart and he applies it to his job. So I've always admired Nick for that. And he goes into a clip about that. And then Ryan, after that, will, you know, there'll be another clip that Ryan's basically explaining philosophies on leadership. And at this time, Ryan's not really in a leadership position with his job. When we record this, but to this day now, you know, in current day, Ryan is in leadership and he does apply these things and he's very intentional with the people he leads and the employees. He's just really good about that. So I wanted to point out both of these. I just found it, you know, very significant that both guys grabbed onto quotes from Iwata that they both really show in their daily lives. So going into those clips now. So next up, this is a quote from Nick. I was curious why you selected this one, Nick. So it's about Iwata's kind of college experience.
Yeah, so the quote is, my college coursework helped me understand the basics of computing. I'm glad I went, but most of the work that I did later on was a continuation of the things I taught myself. And so for me, this is a big one. It probably just resonates because I went to college, dropped out, and almost everything that I've done has been kind of just self-taught. Not in the sense that, like, you know, I sat down and taught myself, but it's been like, oh, that book's interesting. Let me grab that and read it and consume more, or let me ask questions. Let me just find people that are smarter than myself. And so I thought it was interesting that he said that. And I think it just speaks to, like, if you're hungry to learn and grow and obtain knowledge, like, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Rather you have a, you know, a master's degree or, you know, whatever that looks like, or you're going to school, like, that option's up for you. And so that just resonated with me.
Which, when you sent that quote over, I was like, I think this is where Nick is going with this. And sure enough, and like, dude, you are the most self-taught person I know. I had to be forced into learning things education-wise. You sit there and find a book, you find a website, you read everything.
I do appreciate that about you, because, like, you take for granted your education. Like, I know in high school, like, I would do anything to get out of reading a book and get around that, right? And I know, like,
I would have been in high school too, though. Yeah,
totally went around that. But as an adult, you just were like, I want to know as much as possible about this. And then you would dive in and you would learn about it. And it's exactly what Iwata was talking about. It's like, he's glad he went to college, but he was making games on calculators, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, well before all this.
And that was him just dinking around and solving problems.
How many stories do you hear like, oh, I learned this in my garage and now it's this giant company. So I loved that quote. That was a good selection. Do you ever see yourself doing something similar to this? Because he's talking about later, he has a quote where he's in this context talking about data. And like, this is data to him in some way. And he wants to analyze that data to respond better. And that's consistent throughout this whole book, is that he's very data-driven, fact-driven, and he wants to respond to it. So I kind of pivot that question to you guys. Would you implement this? Do you want to implement this?
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely had bosses who I would describe as the opposite of Iwata. And, you know, like in my current role, I'm kind of being pruned for leadership, and I'm always trying to grab onto things that I think are super valuable for the future of the company because I care about it. And I think part of having a successful team is getting people on board with the vision of the company, right? And getting people to also care about the company. And if you have a bunch of disgruntled people that don't want to be there, I mean, it doesn't matter how good of a leader you are, right? There's just no coming back from that. And so I think it's genius.
Okay, so this next clip is one of my favorite Bush League gaming memories ever. It's something when I think about like the weirdest circumstances that we've had to record in, and I don't know, just one of the most spontaneous things we've done. This is a clip from our episode, our review of Rain on Your Parade. This was an indie game at the time. We had a code for it, so we were reviewing it under embargo. We had to hit a certain date, and this so happened to land, you know, the weekend. The release date was the weekend right before, or the weekend we were in Flagstaff, Arizona on like a family trip, a family guys trip. So Ryan and I both knew, you know, we had to play this game and we had to review it while in Flagstaff, Arizona at the family cabin. And the only time we'd get to do that is late at night after everyone went to bed. So what ensues is, you know, me and Ryan in a bed that night, because that's, we were sharing the room, recording this episode, kind of whispering, and it was a great time. Like I'll throw it to the clip now, let it speak for itself. We were giggly, we were out of sorts, but it was just, you know, the audio wasn't great, but we were having such a good time with it. And again, that's like quintessential Bush League, the fun, weird things that we do. So this is that clip. The other big disclaimer, it's a pretty big one. If we sound a little different tonight, We're on the road.
Bush League Roadshow.
Bush League Roadshow. Nick's not here. He's still kicked out. And Ryan and I are related. We're cousin brothers, basically cousin-in-laws for the everyman.
We prefer cousin brothers.
We prefer the term cousin brothers. Right. We are on a family guys trip in Flagstaff, Arizona. We're at the family cabin. And this game, we're reviewing this under embargo, so we wanted to make sure we got this out. So here we are. I brought my mixer. I brought our old mics. So if the audio doesn't sound great, I apologize. It'll be better next week. But we are laying in a king bed that has been shared through the family's line.
We are laying in bed next to each other right now.
We're laying in a...
Sharing an extra large t-shirt.
In a king size bed. There are really actually a little creepy family memorabilia on the walls. There's
lots of dolls.
There's some twins. There's a dress just hanging. So just if things are weird tonight, if we're maybe a little frantic,
it's spooky.
It's the ghosts of our wives.
We also are sharing a wall right now with our wife's 80-year-old grandfather. And so
we are maybe whispering.
If you hear anything out of the ordinary, it's probably coming through the super paper thin walls we got going on.
Just a quick disclaimer. Sorry about that. I had to get that out. Anyways, we are reviewing. Ryan is reviewing.
Bush League Roadshow.
We should do some more travel shows.
Yeah,
right?
Roadshow. Yeah.
Let's do it.
We should have done this live. Had invited like a small group of guests into the room.
Call in family members. Hey, join us. Anyways. Okay, so listening back to that clip reminds me of two things. We used to overuse the term cousin brothers. We still use it, but we used to really overuse it. And I think we realized how I mean, we knew it was a joke. We know how wrong those two words together sound. And it doesn't actually describe our relation, but we really threw it around a lot. So throwback to cousin brothers. The other thing I bring up at the very end there about more travel shows. We haven't done really a travel show since. And I think I want to do a travel show. I don't know what that would look like. You know, we've talked about going to like the Game Awards and maybe recording an episode out there. But even something silly and small like that of, you know, going to Flagstaff and recording there, or, you know, going to a different location. I want to do that. So that reminds me of that. Moving into our next clip here. And again, in true Bush League fashion, the juxtaposition of something silly and ridiculous, like a clip like that, going right into one of our more esteemed episodes. This is our Dark Patterns episode. This is where we had two, you know, very well established and well regarded psychologists in the field of video game psychology. It's Dr. Rachel Cowart and Dr. Celia Hodent. Phenomenal guests, a lot of knowledge that we learned from them. But I wanted to pull out one clip about loot boxes and their impact on adults and children, and how that's different sometimes, and how sometimes what we perceive as inoffensive skins doesn't always really translate to that for kids. So I'm going to just throw it to that clip now, and we can talk a little bit about it after this.
I mean, for me, loot boxes, I've never had a problem with loot boxes per se. I think it we should be more transparent about the odds of winning a strategic item versus a cosmetic item. That was always kind of my issue. If loot boxes were all cosmetic items, then it's like, okay, well, you have the choice to, my kids love Kinder Eggs, love them. And, you know, and the toys are either the toy that they want or it's not the toy they want. And I buy it knowing that, and that's fine for me. My only concern about it being really shady or dark is when you get a strategically advanced item in it, and you see your friend has that strategically advanced item, and then you want to buy it, and your odds of getting it are 0.0000001. But you don't know what the odds of getting it, because your friend got it. So now you want to buy it till you get it. Like, when I talk about loot boxes, it's 99.9% of the time me telling parents, put spending restrictions on your console, because your children will want to buy them. They'll want to buy them, and they're not going to ask for them. So.
Yeah. And maybe that seems kind of, maybe that's the barrier, because when you have something that's actually, this will affect the gameplay, right? This actually, that's the impacts. Problem.
That's the gray area for me. Yes, exactly. Versus bordering, if it was all just hair and skins.
Right. Yeah. Skins are harmless.
Which, and I think that's actually, Dr. Hodent, you bring this up in it was a keynote at Games for Change. You define some of the dark patterns you've seen, broadly, right? You don't specify necessarily what games are doing this, but one of which is pay to win slash move, pay to move friction, right? And I think that's what we're kind of talking about right now is loot boxes. If it's cosmetic, it's not necessarily pay to win, right? You're not getting an advantage, but once you start paying for the advantage, that there's an incentive that is driving people to pay for these loot boxes.
Yeah, if we assume that this is a game for adults, I would agree with that statement. Now I'm going to be a little bit pushing a little bit boundary, because if it's a game really targeted to kids, or a game that ends up being played by kids, some of the games are not designed for kids, but a lot of kids playing it, or teenagers are playing it. And in that case, I would be stronger with loot boxes, because we know that, so the part of the brain is helping us really manage our emotions and regulate our compulsions is the prefrontal cortex. So for any like compulsive behavior or things that we want to do, the prefrontal cortex is going to say, well, wait a minute, do you really need that? And so we really need that part of the brain. If we gamble and we play, it's like, okay, I'm going to try, I get it, I got something cool, let me try again and again. And at some point, say, okay, that's enough. So this part of the brain is the latest part to mature. And it can be all the way to 25 years of age. And that's the reason why kids and teenagers can have more difficulties regulating their impulses. It's not to say that they're completely hopeless, but they are still learning how to do this. So to me, it can become a little bit predatory when, again, it's really intended to target this audience, or it ends up being this audience playing it. And for them, it's going to be really harder to really stop and think and say, well, it's okay. I'm not going to, even if it's for cosmetics, because seeing a cool skin that your friends have when you're a teenager, it's actually very important, much more important than when we are an adult. We can say, well, okay, it's okay. My skin is okay. It's not too big a deal. But for a teenager, you need to be part of the group. And if everybody has a cool skin and you have a default skin, it can be really harder for you to refrain yourself from trying to get that skin. And so in this case, I would say that it's an additional problem when the players are young.
Yeah, so the point that Dr. Hodent makes about the social pressures and impact that harmless skins can have is really relevant, I think, to this day, because, you know, the video game industry gets up in arms about pay to win, right? If you are putting in money and it's giving you a competitive advantage, and we kind of just look past skins because it's like, that doesn't matter. You're, you know, if you like them, that's cool. If not, whatever. But what she brings up is like, no, that actually really could impact children, because there are social pressures. It's like, it's honestly the equivalent of when we were growing up and it's like, you know, you got the new cool jeans or the new shoes, or if you didn't, you were maybe shamed for that. I think the comparison here is, you know, if a kid has a default skin in a game, he might be made fun of by his friends, right? So it's those social pressures of maybe it's not making fun of your clothes, but it's your skin in a game. I never thought about it like that. So I was really appreciative of their perspective there. Okay, so moving into our next clip. This is a clip from our It Takes Two review. This is another one of those games that had really bizarre circumstances around it. Another game that we got a review code for under embargo, very short embargo. I think we had like 4 days to review this. But we knew it wasn't that long, so Ryan and I were like, hey, let's play for 3 days straight. You know, it's co-op, it's multiplayer. Let's do this. Let's get our review out before the game actually releases. So what we did, it was one weekend. You know, we played 3 days in a row. Two of those days, Ryan actually came over and we played couch co-op together. And something in this clip we talk about is that, you know, we felt like kids again playing, right? We don't really get to recapture those moments anymore in modern gaming because it's all online. But we were playing, sitting on the couch together, laughing, having a great time. And it really created a really memorable experience for us. I know Ryan still regards us very well. And then we transitioned right into, you know, we beat the game. And then we walked right down the hall into my guest room and recorded this episode. So it was, we've never played a game and so quickly hopped right into recording a review of it. So that's a clip from this. Again, a great experience, a memorable one for us.
But this is a much more, like, I guess, slower paced problem solving and like nonstop just
joy.
Joy. Yeah. Just an incredible experience. There's no like, it's not really a stressful thing. It's just like this, oh, what's next? What's next?
It was never really stressful. And I think we were smiling throughout the entire game. We were laughing at so many different parts. Like, this was truly like a childlike experience again, playing a game on a couch. You know, Ryan and I played our first session on the couch together, second session online, and then third session, we finished a game together, couch co-op. So even playing couch co-op, I haven't really played a couch co-op game in a long time.
No, yeah. Yeah, and it's just like you're a little kid again. And there's even, here's what I loved, is the developers, they're so much like us in this way. It's almost as if like they're tired of all these games, like, not doing everything they can to provide like these super unique experiences. So they've like, I wouldn't even say borrowed, but they've taken aspects from like all sorts of different games that you love and just mashed it into this.
Yes.
And there's like, there's a point where I'll never forget, we walk up to an Etch-a-Sketch and I'm like, I'm literally like, oh my gosh, I used to love these when I was a kid. And then my character goes, oh my gosh, I used to love these when I was a kid. Yes, and then yes. You and I just went and doodled inappropriate images on Etsy and sketch.
It was great.
Okay, so that was the clip from It Takes Two. If you have not played It Takes Two yet, please do. It is fantastic. There hasn't been anything like it since then. And it's a great time. And pointing out one more thing when we were recording that episode and kind of that whole period, and this happens a lot with embargoed reviews when we get a code, is that we're running on little to no sleep because we're staying up, at least for me personally, I'm staying up late playing video games. I'm staying up late recording. I'm staying up late writing, you know, my review. And through all of that process, you still have to like stay sane. So with all those examples, like Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, It Takes Two, we didn't have Magic Mind at that time, but it is something that I kind of wish I would have had because it is like a healthier energy boost than like just coffee. Very, very low caffeine, gives you that same boost, that same focus. And I guarantee you the next time I do a embargoed review where I'm staying up late and having to work on these things for long periods, I will be using Magic Mind. And I don't record the podcast often from home, so I don't get to usually show this. But one really cool thing with Magic Mind is the packaging. I just got a new package in of a case of Magic Mind, and it comes in this awesome, and for the audio listener, I'm holding up a really nice paper box, very good branding of Magic Mind. And it comes in this really, I don't know. I just love that setup. I love the aesthetic of it. It fits really nice in a fridge. But again, on Magic Mind, you've heard us talk about it quite a bit. Really good about energy. If you're trying to cut back on coffee, it's a great supplement for that. Focus, energy. It's got adaptogens in it. It's, you know, we've been working with them for a while now. So we do have an offer code. You can get up to 56% off with your first order using BLG20 as the code. And also, if you just go directly using magicmind.com/bushleaguegames, will get you straight to the page to order. And then again, put in BLG20 to get that discount. And then if you select subscribe, you're going to save even more. Again, getting that 56% off. That's getting the bottles around down to $3 per bottle around that sphere. Very much worth it. Very great. A great alternative to coffee that gives you good focus and a good energy boost. So moving into the next clip I have here, this is a more recent one, but when I'm talking about Bush League highlights, best of Bush League, the video game show has to be in there. It was one of the most wild episodes we've ever recorded. And honestly, when it comes to feedback, this is probably one of the most approachable episodes too for even those who don't play games, because it's just trivia and it's us reacting to trivia. So I'm going to throw it to that clip. It's basically starting off with the very first question and the chaos that ensues from there. And then it's followed up with a couple other questions.
Are you guys ready to hop into the first question?
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
The first question is, which video game console... Ryan, the for you.
Oh, yeah. Which video game console? The Nintendo GameCube.
If he gets
minus that. Points,
dang it, dude! I had like a 1 in 20 chance.
Just wait till you hear the rest of this question.
I would have been so mad if you would have got it right.
Which video game console released in 2006 pioneered the use of motion controls in its gameplay?
Nintendo Wii.
Did you hear any of the rules?
You're not allowed to answer the question when you got it wrong.
You got it wrong. You're also out. I didn't
he
call
has to
on
call
you.
On you like high school. Remember?
So two rules already
I'm
broken.
I'm glad we established this practice round.
Yeah.
I'm all starting out.
Okay. Are there minus points for breaking the rules?
It's your game.
Minus one more point.
Dude. I'm helping us establish the rules that we'll never forget.
Hari.
Nintendo Wii.
Nice. First on the second on the board.
You didn't ask the question.
What are you talking about? I just
you have to the re-ask question. The question.
I do not have to re-ask the question.
This is already
part of this
so well.
Is
so
already
buzzer too. We've already
you might not have known
hit
that.
The low question one.
Everyone understood the rules, I think, beyond you, Ryan. All right, next question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What's your answer?
Oh, geez.
Do GameCube again, dude. Double down.
GameCube, it's GameCube.
You gotta get there eventually.
You gotta double down.
That's incorrect.
Dang it, dude.
All right, going into the beginning of the second question.
I didn't want to.
Pari is at 1 point, Nick is at 0 point, and Ryan's at -3 points.
I can't even focus right now.
Question, I literally.
Name the specific game. This is a song. Okay.
Donkey Kong 64.
That is incorrect, Ryan. -2 points.
Dude, I know what this is.
Dude, what?
Play it again, please. Please.
It's really nice, too.
Please.
You can let it play out a little bit, too. I've got to get a little bit.
Ryan, you and I played this game, I think.
Oh.
Go for it.
You know it.
Go for it.
I don't know if I know, but I think I know it. You got a nice strat going on by being patient. Or are you just letting me...
Hari,
Kena.
Yeah!
Virgil Spheres.
Oh, that is correct.
I should have done it. I said you and I played this game.
Don't throw. That's why I was like, you should go for it.
We all played this
don't
game. We reviewed
Kena
this game together.
This game. I'm thinking all time classics, and you put Kena?
We all played. Yeah, we reviewed this game together at this table.
Oh my God.
That's why I put it, Ryan. I know it's not an all time classic, but we all know this song. We all had it on the tip of our tongues. It played out perfectly.
Well, they ripped it off from Donkey Kong 64.
Sure.
Sure.
All right, so that was the video game show clip. I picked that last question because it included music, and that was one of my favorite things to integrate into that episode was soundbite, because I think for a podcast format, that works out the best because it's, you know, everyone can play along at home. They're listening to it. So we will definitely do more of those, honestly, really soon. I plan on doing one once the guys are ready. We're going to have George on this time because Hari is, traveling the world and all over the place. So George will be the third for that one. So Nick, Ryan, and George. George is talking a big game already, so we'll see how that goes. But moving into our next clip here, this is from our Game of the Decade episode. Again, this is from the first year of Bush League Gaming, pre-video. And I think it was a turning point for us. So background here, we actually were at a different location recording this. We were at Timmy Ham's studio down in Scottsdale, Arizona. I don't know if he still has it anymore, but he was gracious enough to invite us to record there, and a lot changed for us. We saw better mics, better mixer, an actual dedicated studio, and we had the bug. We had to make our own studio. So this is the episode that inspired us creating our own studio, and it was just a really fun time too. Timmy's a really fun guy. He kept the episode light the entire time, and I think there's two clips here. One's kind of an intro talking about GTA, and then the second clip is just classic Minecraft fighting, where Nick hates Minecraft, Ryan loves Minecraft, I love Minecraft, and then us just arguing about it. Classic, you know, usual infighting that we have about Minecraft. So throwing it to those clips now.
It's such a good game.
It's so good.
I'm multiplayer for me is like, it's so fun.
Oh, you're online fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm all online when that game.
And I'm more career focused. That game services a lot of different, you know, desires.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story was fantastic.
I would just use cheat codes, get a helicopter, and then see if I could get to 5 stars without dying.
Yeah. That's all you do in Grand Theft Auto. Nothing more.
Smoke a ton of weed in my penthouse.
Yeah, which you can do. Yeah. And go rob a casino.
And then you play some Grand Theft Auto.
After you flew the helicopter.
This is where things start getting interesting, okay? So number 3 is God of War. We'll write that off. Number 3.
Listen carefully.
We'll write that off.
Listen carefully.
This is the big deal here. Number 2, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
No. Wow. He put Minecraft as 1.
Yeah, he put Minecraft as number 1.
Yeah. I see that.
All right. Let me break this down.
Minecraft is pretty timeless. So.
Minecraft
timeless.
Transcends.
Thank you, Tim. You're in trouble. You're in trouble,
it
Nick.
Transcends all decades, video games. It is the most simple game that is the most accessible yet entertaining of all time.
Simple and accessible.
Nothing has ever come close.
It's extremely entertaining.
Nothing has ever come close.
I have put more hours in Minecraft in the last
Minecraft
decade
is unmatched
than any other game in my life.
So we're starting this Minecraft fight now, it looks like.
What are you doing? What's your go-to in Minecraft? Like survival mode?
Always survival, always on hard. Because I
like
I feel like you gotta earn whatever
creative.
You're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been working in the same world for
it's a world we made.
Years.
Yeah, I built Hogwarts.
Close. It's kind of like a Skyrim world we made. We made a Jarl's house.
Nick's looking at me with his beady little eyes. Judging me right now.
That's his new intro. Beady-eyed Nick Beard.
Beady-eyed Beard.
Beady-eyed Beard, man. Missed opportunity.
Minecraft belongs. The only reason this was a hard decision for me is that Breath of the Wild could have been my number one.
Sure.
But I just knew it had to be Minecraft just based on the actual time I've put into the game.
Oh, the fact that you put that above Breath of the Wild
says a lot.
Careful what you say.
I don't want to drive you home.
You're walking. You can ride with me.
I would Uber. You can I would ride Uber. With me. I don't want to ride home from you.
Yeah, you've...
Ryan, I'll give you a ride because our lists are pretty similar.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was our Game of the Decade clip. I think, if I recall, Breath of the Wild ended up winning that, I think, right over Minecraft, and that's because Nick voted high for Breath of the Wild, and I think Timmy did too. But moving into our next clip... This is a clip from our Game of the Year 2022 episode, and this is actually at the request of James Mossbrucker. He basically said that the way Ryan described Elden Ring would bring a man to tears. And listening back, I agree. And for some context here, this is the year of God of War Ragnarok versus Elden Ring. Two phenomenal games. You know, two games leaning in different ways about what they focus on, but still, like, these are 10 out of 10 games, both of them, I think, in all of our opinions. So the debate was really more about taste by the end, but Ryan just has this fantastic kind of monologue at the end of why he ends up choosing one over the other. So I'll throw it to that clip now.
God of War told a story that I think both of you resonate with as fathers. We can all resonate with as sons.
Yeah.
But it's a very specific story. And it's a story I think needed to be told because I think there's not enough. We've talked about this before. I don't think there's enough stories with good fathers. Mm. Look at all of the Star Wars universe. There's like very little good fathers.
Mm.
It's also a theme in Marvel. There's just a lot of like themes where a lot of people have struggled with their relationship with their dad. And here's another struggle with a dad. Where the dad actually did overcome it, where he fell short and was an incredible father to his son. That was a story that needed to be told. And there's no game that touches that as far as like that deep, sincere value we put in our relationship with our dad. And I don't want to overlook that. But going to like when I think about the best game of the year, Elden Ring taught me to play games differently than I've ever played before. Elden Ring taught me that I can actually like outsmart my enemy in a way to where I don't have to be OP. I can like find another route to defeat them. And like, I'll never forget when I first started the game, I was like, okay, maybe this isn't the game for me. Cause I kept running into these enemies that were like so powerful and just like crushing me. Yeah. One hit kill. Yeah. I'm like a naked, you know, I have nothing. and then I realized like, oh wait, like there's an option where I can just run past them. Like I can roll between their legs and continue on. And
it doesn't change.
And it doesn't change. Like it doesn't punish me for that. And so like the fact that this game gave you that freedom and like Jacob was saying, like tapped into like this childhood wonder in a world that I could not get enough of, that was so steeped in not just one incredible story about a father and his son, but hundreds of stories that I wanted to know all about. Tons of lore, deep history in this world that I was like, I cannot get enough of this. And then packaging it with gameplay that I've never experienced. Now, I didn't play the From Software games before this, but taking those mechanics, like the legendary difficulty of From Software, and like you said, Adam, making you actually overcome something, I never once felt that in God of War. There was never, I don't know that I like really ever died in God of War. And I was just playing on normal difficulty. It wasn't on easy or anything. It's not a critique of the game. It's just not that type of game. Yeah. This game, I died thousands of times and I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And that says a lot to me as far as like what a game is. God of War could have been any other media and it would have been just as impactful to me. Elden Ring was a game. Game first. They put game first, fun first, and that was everything to me. And so I think my game of the year is Elden Ring.
You're here.
Man, you all are well-spoken human beings. I'm here getting emotional, dude.
And I love having Adam on these episodes because he, I think, only played Elden Ring. He didn't play God of War, but I know we sold him on God of War by the end of it. And God of War is one of those games that, again, the story is so powerful that it's just, you have to experience it for yourself. And Ryan's point about we don't have enough stories about good dads in media is still true to this day. And I don't know. I love that game. It has a special place in my heart. But I also chose Elden Ring as my game of the year that year. And it's just because it did something unlike any other game. And it was adventure like I've never seen it. So phenomenal game. You know, on the topic of making grown men cry and being emotional, how do I not include the clip from Spiritfarer on this episode? Nick, Ryan, and I talk about this to this day because I think it was one of the most impactful video game moments that I can speak for myself that I've ever had. You know, spoiler alert, this is the game that made me cry, the first game to ever make me cry. And I'm going to just cut to that clip and we can talk a little bit about it after because I haven't listened to it in a while. And I'll re-listen to it, probably get emotional, and then we can kind of talk through how that holds up today.
So Stanley, this is the character that I wept reading the dialogue at the end. Is this the same for you?
Yes. Yeah.
So a little backstory on Stanley. Stanley is a mushroom that you basically fish up from the ocean.
Yeah.
You plant it, it grows, and sure enough, turns into just a little...
Pulls right out.
Pull it out, it's a little kid. It's super friendly, it's super nice. It's a kid. It wants you to throw things inside of things that shouldn't be there. It wants you to just make weird things in your machines.
Yeah, and wants to hug all the time.
Wants
and
to hug.
At some point, you're like, man, he's kind of annoying.
A little annoying.
Know? It's like, hey, you're needy.
A little annoying.
Like, you're following me. At one point, he was following me on the boat. No other character was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super gleeful. So it was like, all right, this is annoying. Like, quite frankly, I got him... understood briefly of his story, but I didn't know really his backstory too much. So when it turned for me was when I found out that he had a terminal illness. That's what he died of. They don't go into the detail. But for me, in my head, that was cancer. That could be anything for other people.
Yeah.
They don't go into specifics, but it's a terminal illness.
Yeah.
And he's a kid. So that hits on multiple levels. And I think Nick alluded to some of it, but we are fathers now. So there's an element there that I was like, oh man, childhood cancer, childhood death has been present in my life in the past, but with kids now it's hitting on a different level. Mm. Ryan can relate to this subject, but we all have a mutual friend who passed away in childhood of cancer. So I picked up on this character early and realized this. But again, they kind of keep the character annoying, cheery. You don't, when Stanley was on the boat, I didn't care for Stanley, quite frankly.
Yeah.
His quests were kind of annoying. They were difficult in some ways. When the impact hit, it was when you're taking him to the Everdor. It's at the end. And the dialogue hit me. I found it and I transcribed, I rewrote it. I watched the scene again and rewrote it in case we wanted to reference it or if you want me to read some of it. It hits multiple times. Like there's a line that's said and that gets me going. And then just nonsense is said. And then there's another line that gets me going. When I say getting me going, I'm crying. So there's moments that I'm just weeping reading this. And again, this game hits people differently. There might be someone who has never experienced a child who died or terminal illness for children. That's been something that's close to me for a long time. And being a dad now too, it hits me harder. So this could go over someone's head completely. There's a character with dementia. I haven't experienced too much dementia in my life, but that's going to hit someone else a lot harder too.
Differently.
But Nick, I guess like it was this similar.
Yeah, it was similar. And even maybe one, some of the dialogue that he touched on, I don't know if you have it there, but so do you have the part where he talks about, it almost goes into this, which I think there's this sharp contrast here that brings us back at one point and we go like, wow, I think rather someone's dying or not, we need to stop and realize that people are humans and tomorrow they could be gone. He kind of steps into this almost bullying about conversation, right?
So, and I think all of this has value.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dialogue here. So there's dialogue at the very end when with every character you complete their quests and they kind of just vent at the end. You're taking them to the Everdoor. It's just you and them. And they kind of just explain things. And this is Stanley's dialogue. So Ryan, to preface this, he just did a play, like a kid's play for the boat, and it was not well received. Okay.
Ooh.
That's all you need to know. I like it when it was just you and me doing experiment and running around chasing dust shades. Don't forget to do that sometimes. I won't be there, but I'm sure it will still be fun. People can be mean, really mean. Why do they have to be? My mom is mean sometimes. Just like your friends after my play. And it makes me sad when people are mean. And sometimes I cry when I'm sad. But then I remember what my dad used to say. Stanley, people are not really mean. Sometimes their intentions just take the wrong path. I don't hate your friends. They're not bad people. That's what my dad would say. They just do bad things sometimes. I never wanted to let my mom down or make people not like me. I don't want to do bad things, but sometimes I do, and I always regret it. I don't think that makes me bad. Do you think my mom will be disappointed in me? Disappointed that I had to go. I tried. I really tried, but I don't think I did it. I like it when I win, but I couldn't this time. I think it's okay. It's okay to lose sometimes. I really think it is. I'm really trying to be brave, but I'm really scared. I wish I could be a superhero and never be afraid. I've hoped so much that this was just a nightmare. If this is a nightmare, why can't I wake up? I was trying. I wanted to wake up. I always talk to myself, Stanley wants to wake up. But it never worked. I never woke up. It all felt so real, and it made me sad. So sad I couldn't think of anything other than sadness. You take care, Jacob, okay? Jacob is a good beetle, and he was my friend. This is exactly like my play. But this time, I am the lead actor. I will put on a good show, I promise. I feel strange. I feel cold. I wish Mom was here and Dad, but you are here, Big Hat. I really like you. I hope it's like falling asleep.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so to jump into that, it's like, where do you even start? Right. If you go through the whole thing, you'll realize how much more depth there is to that. But all of the things that are being touched on right there, rather it's the terminal illness, the bullying type feeling, the kid-like spirit of, hey, continue to do that. I'll be gone. And I want to be a superhero. It touches on all these things. And as you're going through it, it just hits so hard. It's kind of weird that you're reading this, you're going through it, and you're like, this is a game I'm playing on my Switch, right? It's like you might expect this if your wife sits down and says, I want to watch this really emotional movie on a weekend or something where you both end up crying, whatever. But this is not your typical dialogue and playthrough of a video game. And I think the night that I played that part, it was getting towards like my bedtime, whatever that was. And I played through it. And I sat it down and Afton was like, I'll meet you in bed or whatever. And I just sat there for like 20, 30 minutes and was just like trying to process it. And then I went to bed and it was like, wow, this is a video game I'm playing.
Okay. So that is still hard to hear those words. Yeah, it's like the letting his mom down stuff is terrible. The couldn't win this time comment. It's like such a real and raw way that you would hear a kid talk about this kind of stuff, wanting to wake up, wishing his parents were here. wishing that it would be like falling asleep. It is written so well from that point of view, or at least how I would imagine it to be. And yeah, to this day, that game has changed how I look at games. If you notice in that clip, I read the quote and then I throw it, you know, Nick kind of takes over from there and I don't say anything again. And that's just because I'm, you know, full of tears again. And I'm in no position to keep talking about it, but actually today I just bought Spiritfarer for the Steam Deck. I originally played it on the Switch and we talked about the game last week with the music. I'm talking about the game again today. So I'm going to revisit it, maybe with a new lens even. You know, I make a comment in there that, you know, this game is going to hit people in different ways based on their life journey. And I make a comment about, like, you know, there's a character with dementia in there and I haven't experienced dementia. I've experienced my wife's grandma with dementia now. So I don't know if that's going to play differently, but I just think for everybody and their unique walks of life, this game will speak to you in a very specific and personal way. And I'm going to reopen that door again here pretty soon and start it on the Steam Deck. So one of the most memorable things from Bush League, it was a game that I typically wouldn't play, but again, Bush League kind of pushed me into that path to play it. And I couldn't be more grateful for it. So pivoting into a different tone, different episode, we're going to go to our 2023 game of the year. So not that long ago, but kind of in the same tone of the power of games, George goes on this really awesome explanation of Cyberpunk 2077, right? Ryan has a hard time with Cyberpunk 2077 because of the darkness in it. And George just has this beautiful, eloquent way to explain the darkness in this game and how to handle it and how not to internalize it, but also how to use it as like a tool to experience the game in a different way. So here's that clip.
Dude, this is crazy because I didn't think it was...
It's dark for you. This is emotional. This is emotional.
It's an emotional thing for me. It's too dark.
It's bleak.
It's too close to what I think. It's too close to what I think the world might be, and it bothers me. So it's hard for me to play. But we're like hurtling towards that reality right now.
I didn't come up with this phrase, but it's learn to love the world that hates you. Is the way to approach Night City in Cyberpunk, and I think what makes Cyberpunk so emotionally impactful for people is that they paint this grim vision of a world in the future. And that even in that horrible, Cyberpunk is like the worst possible outcome of like some, I hate for to sure. say this, but late stage capitalism. You
no,
know,
that's it's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
It's like the most dark and evil, horrible, gruesome thing you could, outcome of the system we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to take away from it is that it's still about humanity and it's still about the relationships and the...
Who are the Kostarbas? Who are they?
Dude, Adam's crying right now, dude.
But that's the point. Like, they paint this horrific...
Let me get that tear image. Out.
But it's still about the relationships people have and the hope and the love.
So good.
And that's why, if that's what makes it amazing. So you give it another chance, man.
Wow.
There's darkness.
There's no way I play any other game than that.
Okay. That the Kostarba brothers, this is just George this time, but the Kostarbas have such a way with words. And listening to George describe that, again, makes you want to revisit Cyberpunk and play that DLC. And if you haven't played it either, check it out. It's a great game, at least from what I played of, you know, 1.0 or near 1.0. Okay, moving into the next clip here, we've got two final clips. We've got two clips from one episode, so I'll start with that. That's the Video Game Radio Show. This is the Volume 1, our first Video Game Radio Show. Again, first year of Bush League. We're in my guest room recording this. Special guest, DJ Emmy B, is on, my wife, Emily Bush. And the clips I chose, the first is an intro. One of my favorite intros. It's for Ryan, and he he takes it in a direction, Emily takes it in a direction, and it's just laughs from there. And then following up with another clip of, you know, just talking about puppetry. I'll say that. We talk about puppetry a bit. And again, one of my favorite episodes ever. I don't have any music on this one just to keep it, you know, not to get copyright claimed, but it is one of my favorite episodes. And then we just did a volume 2 last week. So if you never listened to the original, go back and listen to that and then listen to volume 2, which we recorded last week. This is the clips from Video Game Radio Show volume 1.
Our next co-host once peed in a pool. Leader of the Nintendites, Ryan Scalp.
That's not true.
That's your intro this
That's
week.
That's defamation. That is just wrong.
Are you claiming you've never peed in a pool?
I've never peed in a pool. Under oath, right? I would never do that to the people.
He was the kid that feared the blue dye that would come out in the pool.
I just have extreme, resolute moral standards.
You said you're not peeing
in the pool. Anyone who pees in the pool is just a psychopath.
Have you really? Okay.
Which is like 90%.
You've never peed in a pool.
Even when you cold splash in the winter?
Have you peed in the ocean?
Ryan, that's a lie.
I've peed in the ocean. Okay. I've peed in the ocean.
You've peed in the ocean, but not the pool.
Yeah, but not.
Dude, so,
you pee in fish's houses, but not the pool.
Yeah, they're fish, and it's not my family I'm peeing on.
You don't have to pee on your family.
You're peeing on your family when you pee in the pool.
What if you're next to your family in the ocean? What if there's
There's actual particles leaving your body and going onto someone else's body.
So
things got real dark.
So yeah, it's
when
weird. It got weird.
In the ocean with your family, you're not peeing on them as much or what?
Yeah, you're definitely peeing on your family.
The
too.
Waves, it's the ebb and flow of the waves.
So if they're standing behind you, they're screwed.
So if you cold splash in the winter?
Is cold splashing getting in a pool when it's cold?
Yeah, or any lake in the wintertime when it's super cold.
In eighth grade,
you just pee immediately.
My friend Cal.
No, I never heard of this.
Yeah, it's real.
So you to cool down, to warm up your vicinity, you pee.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I get in there and go, I'm going to pee to warm myself up, but it's more like just a reaction when my body gets in freezing water. Yeah.
No, that's not
normal. Pretty normal.
I don't think
same when I go surfing.
I pee at least 3 times every time I'm in the pool.
Yeah, we know. We know. Exhibit A. That's why she pees enough for the both of us.
Yeah. I do it just so I can pee on Ryan at least once.
Disgusting. Yeah. No.
So I wanted to break this up. We're doing, like I said, I'm leaving room for a part 2. Part 1 is action sport games and racing games.
But I didn't know that. So I didn't know
you didn't have
any
to.
Of the songs that you guys chose.
You just happened to pick exactly what he was
you
looking
did.
For.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's what I do here. I sit here and puppet fingers.
Turn the knobs. Puppet masters, not puppet fingers.
Puppet fingers, that's a weird graphic novel. Don't read that.
Don't Google that, kids.
Sorry, guys. Puppet master over here.
Puppet fingers.
Puppet fingers, guys.
Well, what does a puppet master have? Puppet fingers.
No, he has regular fingers.
No, yeah, no.
Puppet masters just have fingers. They don't have puppet fingers.
They for sure have puppet fingers. Anyways.
Oh, puppet fingers. I was playing that clip back recently for Emily, and she kind of forgot about it. But I love that episode. Again, looking back at those year one episodes, I'm very fond of those. The lack of video was special, I think, still. And I still to this day debate if we just go back to just audio only. We're not doing that right now, but there's just a different vibe sometimes when you aren't worried about a camera in the room. Audio is really fun. So moving on to our next clip. Actually, this is the last. These are two clips. The last episode that we're going to talk about today for our Best of Bush League. The last episode that we're talking about today is the Tetris Effect Connected episode. One of the most fun episodes I've ever recorded. This is, I think, was Hari's first episode with us. And going into it, Ryan and Nick had no background, if any background, a very negative background with Tetris. And we were completely able to sway them towards the Tetris effect. And these two clips, I think, just sum up Bush League very well. First clip is kind of sciencey, talking about, you know, the science behind Tetris. Hari's going into that. And the second clip is just laughs. And we laugh probably the hardest we've ever laughed on an episode. And that's what I thought we'd end this show off with today. I'll still hop in at the end here and talk a little bit about housekeeping and close us out, but these are our last two clips. These are from Tetris Effect Connected Review.
I was going to get a little scientific here. There's actually studies on Tetris, and one of them is that
They looked at
glucose uptake in the brain while you're playing Tetris. And initially when you're playing, your brain is lighting up like really high. Like you're using a lot of your, like the mental processing to play the game. And as you keep playing, like within 30 minutes, it reduces substantially. So like your brain gets way better over time while you're playing it. And then psychologists have used, neuroscientists rather have looked at how it affects your cognition and other tasks and actually improves it. So like 20 to 30 minutes of Tetris, I think pretty regularly. It's not like a randomized trial or anything, but it's shown to like actually help like your mental faculty, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. As a huge Tetris fan and player, I like to believe that.
Yeah. Anecdotally, I think it's right.
Just like we're apes.
Study.
Me and Nick, are just like apes, like sitting here at the end of the table. And
we're big brain. Yeah.
The adults. Yeah. Big brain adults. You guys finish your conversation and then we'll stop.
It's huge. And so like hearing that music, having that draw me in.
Yeah.
And then finally experiencing like what the Tetris effect is all about. Like what there's like an actual reality to like what this does to your brain when you're like hit that zen and you're putting shapes where they're supposed to be. There's something to be said about that. And I'm glad that I finally got to experience it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this is like the iteration that took my Tetris virginity, Wow.
Yeah. That was... So I wanted to get back to that point, actually, sure. Not explained that way, but like...
That's why I cried.
Gosh. That was the best time joke I've heard in a long time.
I know.
Ryan's nuts. That caught us all so off guard. And that's again ending on laughs, I think, is the right place for Bush League. I think at the end of the day, like I said, I hope that's what Bush League does for you most of the time, is makes you laugh. Hopefully makes you learn a little bit about the industry, about games, about science, whatever we're talking about. And then maybe occasionally cry, right? I think there's some, I don't remember what it was, but there's like laugh, cry, learn are like the things you want to do in a day. And I hope we cover that gamut for you at Bush League. This is one of those seasons where there, like I said, lots of things going on for all of us. So again, we're going to get creative with some episodes here, and we appreciate you listening and watching. I can't say it enough. The growth we've seen over the years is more than we ever expected. And I still love doing this. I still love recording these things. And looking back on the last 4 years in this medium of kind of a best of really made me appreciate the show more. So I'm happy to put that together for you all. I would love to do this again, because there's so many more clips. Again, shout out to everyone who sent ideas for clips. I think, it was Ethan, James, I think someone else sent me an idea in there too, but Adam did. Yeah. I really appreciate all of your feedback on episodes to pull from. I know there are plenty more. This is actually very hard to put together because I have to pull from the cloud where we store all everything. I have to re-download it, recut it, and then put it all together. So it's not the easiest episode. It's actually probably one of the harder episodes to make, but I'd like to do it again because I really do like this retrospective, look at Bush League. If there's any clip that we missed, please write into the show. I'd love to add it to the list of whenever we do this again. But again, send the guys notes. A lot's going on for everybody, but we love them. We love you. And on that note, let's get into some housekeeping. Housekeeping. It's harder than it looks like. If you're watching a video or on Spotify video, you'll see that I have a housekeeping hat on. I haven't decided to sell these yet. I love this hat. This is probably the first BLG merch that I'm like proud to wear, in a sense of like it goes with outfits. Everything else is just like representing the brand, which I appreciate, or it's very cozy. But this is one of the first design things that I'm actually like, I love how this looks with an outfit. So this is the housekeeping hat. Again, not sure if I'm going to sell this or not, but trying it out. In regards to housekeeping, video game show round two is going to happen really soon. Like I said, when the guys' schedules open up, we'll do that. There's some really good games coming out really soon that we're going to cover. No Rest for the Wicked, that's from Moon Studios. That's like an isometric, almost Souls-like combat game. It's like, you know, kind of top-down angle. It's isometric view. Looks phenomenal. That comes out next week, or actually the week of this release. Same week releasing is Harold Halibut. We talked about that on, you know, maybe three or four episodes ago. That's the claymation game. Very story-driven. We're looking forward to playing that. And yeah, other than that, I really don't know what the plans are. We have to revisit Baldur's Gate somehow. It might just be Ryan and I talking about it because no one else really has finished it. Maybe we'll pull Alex into that. But a phenomenal game. We just haven't talked about it in long form yet. And if there's anything you want us to cover, any games that you're interested in us talking about, please write into the show, bushleaguegames@gmail.com. And we really appreciate you watching for all these years, listening. And we hope to bring you many more. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
What's your body count? I'm like, literally hundreds.